Sanderson Ford. They're on 51st Avenue, just south of Glendale Avenue in Glendale, Arizona. They're open Monday morning to Saturday afternoon, always closed on Sunday. An inventory packed 65 acres. Celebrating 66 years of success, serving the community and the state. Know this, Arizona truly is Sanderson Ford Country. Still owned by the same family that opened the dealership on May 1st, 1955. With 250 service bays and collision bays, 22 master certified technicians, an on-site Starliner diner, an accessory shop to add your customized personal touch to any vehicle, the largest parts inventory in the entire state, and a dedicated commercial fleet department. As well as a website that'll let you shop, buy from your very own home, and they'll deliver the car to your driveway. Sanderson Ford, if you're in the vehicle shopping mode, you would absolutely be crazy not to stop by and visit the great folks at Sanderson Ford on 51st Avenue, Monday morning through Saturday evening. They're there waiting for you to treat you like a neighbor. Sanderson Ford. Welcome back to Rosie on the House. In that October is Fire Prevention Month, but we've brought on special guests to talk through fire prevention education that you, the Arizona homeowners, need to have top of mind. So this Saturday, we're very privileged to have Mr. Brent Fenton, the public information officer from the Daisy Mountain Fire Department right here in Maricopa County. Brent, thanks a million for joining us this Saturday.
Hey, thank you so much for having me on.
You bet. Well, I can kind of testify to the fact of what smoke alarms and CO detectors have done in the way of safety in the area of Scottsdale, and the fact that, you know, they took it so serious they actually had to start installing fire suppression systems into the new homes almost 30 years ago. What would you, as a member of the Daisy Mountain Fire Department, what would you want your Arizona homeowners to know about smoke detectors, CO detectors?
You know, yeah, so first and foremost, the most important thing is to have one and make sure that you check your batteries, you test them. We recommend testing them about every 6 months, and we also recommend replacing those batteries every 6 months. And then along with that, smoke detectors, a lot of people don't know, smoke detectors have a shelf life of about 10 years. And then once they're past that 10-year age, it's recommended by not only us, but the manufacturers that you replace those smoke detectors just to ensure that you've got the most up-to-date technology and a detector that's going to be working to the capability.
And how does a smoke detector work? And boy, they've sure increased where they want us to put them in the houses over the last 5 years.
Right. Yeah, so there's a number of different types of smoke detectors. There's the ionization ones. Those are more responsive to, I would say, flaming fire, or like fires that are actually creating a flame. You do a lot of times get some false alarms, so they'll play. Those are kind of different where they put those. They're not necessarily ones that you would see necessarily near like a kitchen or things are going to be cooking. And then they have the photoelectric ones that they're more responsive to like the smoldering fires. They respond to the particles that are in the air. The smokes and things like that. And then you also have CO detectors. So you have CO detectors, which are solely looking for carbon monoxide. And then you have combination detectors that are looking for CO as well as smoke. And when we're talking about CO, generally where we see, especially in the valley, where we're going to see a lot of the CO production is going to be homes that have real wood burning fireplaces, but not only that, you're also going to see homes that have gas. So they have those gas furnaces in the attic. Sometimes they have gas hot water heaters. And so carbon monoxide is a byproduct of burning natural gas or burning wood and things like that. And so a lot of times, if there's a leak in the ventilation system, that's where you can sometimes get that CO buildup. And that's when those detectors are looking for that.
And they let us for a long time just put a smoke detector down the bedroom hall and just in the sleeping area. Now they'd like us, now it's code. They want a smoke detector in every bedroom.
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah, they want a smoke detector inside of every bedroom or every sleeping area. And not only that, they also want one in the hallway outside of those areas. So a lot of times, especially in the new constructions, you're going to, like you said, you're going to see one in every bedroom, but you're also going to see one just outside the doorway.
And then we're going to put one in the kitchen area. We're going to put one in the garage. All code requirements now.
Right. Yeah, you'll see there's a number of different areas where they're putting them. And when we were talking about the CO detectors, CO is slightly lighter than air. So they actually recommend anywhere from the 5-foot level on up is where they recommend those detectors to be detected, because obviously that CO is slightly being lighter. It's going to rise. And a lot of times it often, like I said, it's generated from the burning of the fuels. So it's going to be warmer. And so naturally that's also going to rise as well.
And a lot of the CO detectors do come with a sealed battery case. They're a lithium battery. It age out in 12 years. They say replace them every 10. The alkaline batteries are the ones you want replaced every 6 to 12 months at the most. You can always test your batteries, but I would encourage you to date them or put a little piece of tape on the inside cover and record there the last day you installed a fresh set of batteries. Do y'all have to respond to many false alarms?
Yeah, you know, we do. And that's correct, like you were talking about with the batteries. There's the sealed units, and there's the ones that they recommend every 6 to 12 months. We recommend, you know, just finding a date and taking, you know, 2 dates throughout the year, and this is when you change your batteries. But a big thing that causes those false alarms for us is the batteries that are dying. But also smoke detectors, you know, just like anything else, being in the desert, very dusty environment, and that dust gets into our homes, and so the smoke detectors get a dust buildup in them. And sometimes that can trick the smoke detector into thinking it's seeing smoke or smoldering material, and that'll actually activate, and we'll get these, and it always seems like those activations happen, you know, at 2 and 3 in the morning when you're asleep. You wake up and your smoke detectors are going off, and there's no sign of any smoke or fire, and you can't figure out why it's going off. And so we come out there and we respond, and a lot of times it's the battery, but oftentimes, especially at the transition of seasons, when we're coming out of summer going into fall, the cooler temperatures are coming, a lot of times when people turn on those heaters, again, there's dust buildup inside of those inside of that ductwork, and so it blows that dust throughout the ventilation system, blows it up into the air. The smoke detector sees that, it'll alarm. As well as with the gas furnaces, you have that dust build up, and a lot of times people will turn on their heaters. Same thing happens. But the thing is, with the dust, with the gas furnaces, there's actually a flame that's generated in there, and so it can actually burn some of that dust, not creating a flame, but it'll create that smell. So people will smell they think is smoke and fire, and then you have that combination of the fire alarms, and they think their house is on fire. So a big thing that we recommend is just general maintenance, changing those batteries. You can buy the canned air, and you can blow those detectors out and get the dust out of there. And obviously, and everybody's AC units have filters on there, so changing those filters regularly will also help with that dust buildup.
And Brent, in the horrible case that you are dealing with a house fire, why don't you talk the homeowners through that active fire family plan? What would you have a family practice ahead of time?
Right. So, you know, in the awful situation you find yourself trapped in a home that is on fire, obviously we want to make sure that people get low, they crawl below the smoke, they're feeling doorways with the back of their hand, not with the palm of their hand. If you're not feeling any kind of fire, then you can open. It's safe to open those doorways, stay below the smoke, and get to an exit exit that you've identified in your building or in your home. But even before that, a big thing that families can do is just formulate a plan. You live there, so you know the blueprint of your house. You know where there's windows, you know where there's doors, you know where the stairways are, the exits. Formulate those plans, and parents can get together with kids, and they can even, you know, they can make it a fun, creative way by drawing a picture of the house and having the kids say, show me where the front door is, show me where the back door is. If you had to get out of your room, where would you go? And you know, just explaining to them the ways to get out of the home, to get out of a window, but then also identifying those escape routes, but identifying a place that when everybody gets out, where you're going to meet and where you're going to stay together, so that way you can call 911. Because the first priority, when you, obviously if you were to wake up and your home is full of smoke, is to get out. Sometimes people think, I got to find my phone and I got to call 911. We would much rather you get yourself out and then either call a neighbor, knock on somebody's door, have them call 911. But the priority for us is to make sure that you get out safely. Don't go back in for belongings, pets, things like that. If you can bring them with you as you're exiting, that's fine. But do not go back into a home that is involved in fire.
Now, for decades, we've had a code requirement where every sleeping quarter, every bedroom must have egress that occupant can escape out of the home through a window.
That's
the
right.
Window has to be of a size that a person can actually get out the window. I would encourage
right.
you homeowners to make sure the kids know how to operate the lock mechanism on the window. Make sure they can slide the window open. Make sure they know what kind of force it's going to take to bust that screen out of the way. And take a look at your landscaping right outside the window. Might not be the best place for a prickly pear cactus. Make sure you
right.
make sure the kids know how to get in and out that window. Mr. Brent Fenton, Public Information Officer.
Sorry, if I could interject one more
yeah.
thing that's really important.
Absolutely.
We strongly recommend closing the door. They call it the Close Before You Doze campaign. We strongly recommend that because all the doors are rated for a certain amount of time for fire breakthrough, and you would be really shocked to see some of the photos that we have from homes that have fires that break out in the middle of the night, and you'll see the catastrophic damage that's done to the home, but then you'll see the bedrooms that had the doors closed, and they will have very, very minimal smoke damage. So we always recommend occupants of homes, especially with children, close those doors before you go to sleep, because that buys you a lot of time, and especially if you're unable to escape, that buys a lot of time for us to get there to get in and rescue you.
Those are the kind of tips we were looking for from the experienced firefighting Daisy Mountain Fire Department, Mr. Brent Fenton. Thanks a million for joining us. We
Absolutely.
Really appreciate you carving time out to help us educate the Arizona homeowners on staying safe, October Fire Prevention Month.